have the privilege in just over a week to be able to go to Schertz and be able to speak on their lectureship this year. And it just so happens to be on the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel chapter 5 is not my assignment. But in getting ready for that lectureship, I decided to sit down and read the book. And Daniel chapter 5 happens to be one of my favorite chapters within this particular book. The handwriting on the wall. As I studied this particular chapter, I noticed a few things about it, and I'd like to be able to share that study with you tonight. And then make some practical application at the end. When we look at Daniel chapter 5 and the writing on the wall and what takes place at this particular point in time in the kingdom of Babylon, what is God telling Belshazzar? In a manner of speaking, when we look at this, we may say that God was letting Belshazzar know, he was letting Babylon know that the party's over. They're about to be done away with. We use that expression, the party's over, to say that whatever a person has enjoyed doing, it has now come to an end. Reality has set in. A person must now face whatever consequences are facing him. You know, oftentimes as we may be watching television, we may see a commercial, and it has to do with alcohol. And they show you all the good times that folks have with alcohol involved. What do they never show you? The car wreck on the way home. They never show you the morning after. They never show you all the things that go along with it. Friends, Belshazzar's party is fixing to come to an abrupt halt. Belshazzar is a wicked king. And as we'll see here in chapter 5, as we're about to read the chapter together, he is literally having a party. And it's going to come to a screeching halt. God was announcing that the party was over for him. The enemy armies are outside the city, and the kingdom of Babylon is about to fall to the Medes and the Persians. If you will, begin reading with me in verse 1. We're going to read the entire chapter, and I want you to look at what happens here and the reaction of Belshazzar and what Daniel tells him about this writing. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. Now I want you to get that picture in your head. Belshazzar wet himself. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone so scared so that his knees literally knocked. But that's what happened here. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished or astonished. Now the queen, by reason of words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of the doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. And when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. And he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, and thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of the gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. First, let's notice some observations, and then we'll look at some things concerning Belshazzar himself. First of all, Belshazzar was not the direct son of Nebuchadnezzar. Rather, he was in the bloodline of Nebuchadnezzar, but not necessarily his son. And what we need to realize and understand that in the Hebrew language, son can mean grandfather or simply a relative at this point. So Nebuchadnezzar was his father in that he was of his blood, not his actual father. Belshazzar's actual father was a man by the name of Nabonidus. So what does that make Belshazzar? Is that he's not actually the king of the entire Babylon empire, but rather he is a crown prince. Hence, when he says that whoever is able to make the interpretation shall be the what ruler? Third ruler. That indicates then that Belshazzar was the what ruler? The second ruler. And so here we have Belshazzar, the king of the city of Babylon, not the Babylonian Empire. That would ultimately fall to the Medes and Persians, but not on this night, just the city. Then we have, at the end of the chapter, Darius the Mede taking rule of Babylon. And again here, Darius was not the king, per se, of the Medo-Persians. Rather, a general that was made ruler of the city of Babylon by Cyrus. Now, what I find interesting here is that Babylon was considered to be an unconquerable city. Nobody could penetrate its walls. So guess what Darius did? He dug a channel and diverted the river, and he went under the walls of the city in the river channel. He goes in by night, and he slays Belshazzar, and he takes control of the city with practically no fight at all. Amazing how God works in bringing kingdoms to an end, isn't it? When we look at this chapter as a whole, verses 1 through 4, we see, first of all, the corruption of the king. He's having a party and everything is going along just fine. He has no care in the world. I don't know if he got bad intelligence, not knowing that the Medes and the Persians were on the way. I don't know what is going through this man's mind at this time, but he's got this party going on. He's got 1,000 rulers there with him, and he's having a good old time. But then he decides to make this party a personal vendetta against God. And he brings the vessels that were taken out of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar and brought into the city of Babylon. These things that were dedicated unto the Lord our God, and he drinks wine out of them, causing himself and others to become drunk. You see, what's happening here, friends, is the king was committing blasphemy by drinking out of containers dedicated to God in the Jerusalem temple and praising then his gods through this, praising his gods of wood and stone, gold and silver. We go on then, and as they are well drunk, they drank wine, verse 4, and praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. Verse 5, beginning then, we see this hand appearing, the fingers of a hand appearing, and writing upon the wall. Now, you can imagine, if we had been there, we'd probably just assume the man was drunk. But you see, he wasn't the only one that saw it. He wasn't the only one that saw what was going on. These mysterious fingers appear on the wall. Everyone is in a panic. Nobody could read the writing. So the queen comes in and says, why don't you call Daniel? He's handled this type of thing before. She reminds Belshazzar of everything that Daniel had done for Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel then comes in and reminds him what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And in his consultation with Daniel in verses 17 to 24, he tells him about Nebuchadnezzar being driven out into the field and having to eat as a beast. He tells him of Nebuchadnezzar's rebellion then against God, his judgment and restoration and repentance. You see all that happening, taking place there in Daniel chapter 4. And although Belshazzar knew all of those things, here in chapter 5, we see him in open rebellion against God. And then finally, in verses 25 to 31, as Daniel interprets the writing, he says in verse 26 that Mene means God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You are done. God has told Belshazzar, you will no longer be ruler. He says then, in verse 27, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You see, as Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 had told Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, I think there's a significance in that. When Daniel interprets the dream, he mentions that Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold as the king of the Babylonian Empire. Friends, if you go and you look at the Babylonian Empire after Nebuchadnezzar's death, it was doomed from that point. There was never another strong ruler. As a matter of fact, in the journals of Cyrus, he writes of Belshazzar as the king of Babylon. He writes of him as a coward and a fool. God says to Belshazzar that night, you're but a speck in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. You're not even half the man that he was. You see, he was weighed in the balances and he was found wanting. And then the last part, Perez, or Upharsin, thy kingdom is divided. and given to the Medes and the Persians. They ruled it jointly. They took it from them. Conquered the southern part first, and then they went after Nabonidus next. And they took the northern part. Friends, what do we see from chapter 5? We as Christians, number one, have been dedicated to God. And to use ourselves for anything other than God's service is to do as Belshazzar and commit blasphemy. The world all about us, as there was confusion in the court in verses 5 through 16, the world all about us wants to help in our confusion. Wants to tell us that what we see in the Bible is a dead book. That it has nothing to say to us today. It's just a 2,000-year-old book. It's got some good principles, but you know, it's really of none effect. Friends, we need to be able to see through the smoke that the world tries to put before us and realize that in God's Word we have a living letter. And we are to follow it. When we see Belshazzar's consultation with Daniel, the consultation with the prophet, when things of this world get murky, where can we turn? To God. You see, Belshazzar didn't know what to do, did he? He had wet himself, his knees were knocking, he didn't know to whom else to turn. He tried going to the wise men, he tried talking to the astrologers, he tried talking to anybody that would listen. Matter of fact, he promised them to be the third ruler in the kingdom. Of course, it was only going to last one night, but the third ruler in the kingdom. Ultimately, where did he have to turn? To Daniel, who was a prophet of God. Friends, it may feel like at times that we've hit rock bottom. That we don't know where to turn. We don't know who to consult. We don't know who to go to. Friends, we can know that we can go to the Word of God. We can find the answers within the pages of God's Word. And then, friends, something for us to realize. Number four. I'll try to give you back some of the time that I took from you this morning. Number four, realize that as Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, it is this Word that's going to judge us. Just as God had judged Belshazzar, His kingdom would come to an end that night. You see, the thing about that though, is that Belshazzar knew when his time was up. We don't have that. Our time may be tonight. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week. We may live for a long time yet. But friends, know this. If our time were to be tonight, and we're not ready, we've got no one to blame but ourselves because God has given us His Word. Belshazzar had no one to blame but himself because he knew everything that had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Friends, if we go to judgment this night, if we go to, not to judgment, but if we die this night, or if Christ comes tonight and we go to judgment this night, it'll be the words of this book that judges. Are you ready? Because friends, I can guarantee you if you're not, we're going to be just like Belshazzar. We're going to have the desire to wet ourselves, and our knees are going to be knocking. Are you ready? God's Word tells us what we need to do to be ready. And friends, if you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't leave this building tonight without becoming a Christian. Without putting Christ on in baptism, coming in contact with His blood, rising again to walk in newness of life. Friend, don't leave the building tonight without having done that. Friend, if you're here, and you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, but for whatever reason, you let the world get in the way, would you come home? Would you be His again? Friends, don't be a Belshazzar. Be a Christian. Be His. Friend, if you have a need, come now while we stand and while we sing.